Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Well, welcome to Pickering Pentecostal Church and happy Canada Day to all of our Canadian family and friends and even our worldwide family. We're just glad that you're joining us today. This is a really special day for us here at PPC. This is our student graduation Sunday, and right now at this moment, we are outside and just celebrating all of our students that are graduating either from elementary into high school or high school into university or university into a career. But we're so happy for them. But here online, we have the opportunity to worship, and we've been doing that for the last few moments. And so thank you for joining us in that and just connecting with each other. This morning, I have felt that it is appropriate for us to talk about the power of an invitation. Have you ever noticed that there is something about receiving an invitation that really makes you feel good about yourself, right? It makes us feel good that when you get that link in your inbox of an invite, it's like, wow, I feel like I'm now being included in something or I've been accepted to something. There are three things about invitation that we can remind ourselves with. One of them is that an invitation actually makes us feel special. An invitation has the power to either make you feel included or excluded. By nature, we hate to be excluded from things. And when we feel excluded, it actually hurts. And there's actually science around this. In fact, if you were walking through your house and you were barefoot and you stubbed your toe on a chair, that part of your brain that begins to process that pain that makes you grab your foot and hold on to it and start to cry is the same part of your brain that begins to process the emotional pain that you begin to feel because someone has excluded you or not included you into some kind of an invitation. And so we feel hurt and we feel the pain of that. So think for a moment. If someone you know or someone that you would say is a friend, maybe even a family member was having a house party or hosting a party, and you found that you were not invited into that party, how would you feel? And so probably not good. And so what we can understand with an invitation is that it actually helps us to feel good. There's actually a good thing about being invited into something. So that's number one. Number two, an invitation actually makes us feel wanted and accepted. As humans, we naturally want to be wanted. I want to be wanted. I want you to want me, and you want me to want you. We want to be wanted. And we use a variety of behaviors to bring us closer to other people. We do different things that would to help people think that, hey, this is a person that I want to be connected to, whether it's by the way we dress or talk or joke or do whatever those things might be. Sometimes, though, I run into people or I meet people who have friends and family and coworkers, and there's always people around them, but they will say to me, Pastor Dennis, I feel really lonely. And what I've discovered in all of this is that the presence of people does not always guarantee a sense of acceptance or belonging. Even in a crowd, you can still feel isolated and as you know, as if we were on the outside looking in, yearning for genuine connection and affirmation. So when we are genuinely invited to be a part of something, it actually encourages us. So it makes us feel good. Invitations make us feel good. Invitations actually encourage us. And the power of an invitation is that it can also help us to reach out to others. So back before I was married, I knew Liz. So before I was married to Liz, before she was my wife, even before we were actually dating, I had actually invited Liz or asked Liz if she would join me as a guest to a wedding that I was going to. Now, we weren't dating, but I was beginning to like Liz a whole lot, okay? And so I really wanted her to accept my invitation, but I kind of delayed it a little bit because I was a little bit nervous. I know that's hard to believe, but I was. And I really did want her to come. And so this is, so I went to her office where she was working at the moment, and I was standing there and I asked her if she would join me, but I wasn't really too good at it. And what I said is, would you like to go to this wedding with me? And then I said this, I have no one else to go with. Not smart, right? Not the best way to ask someone to join you. And I don't know how you would have responded. I know if I was Liz, I probably would have went, no, I'm not, you know, who do you think I am? Your afterthought to your wedding invitation? But Liz was actually really gracious with me and she said yes. And I'm so glad that she did say yes. You see, the power of an invitation, it opens a door for us to begin a friendship. And that really began for Liz and I because I had asked her, we went to this wedding and a pastor friend walked up to us and said, are you guys a couple? And at that point, we hadn't talked about any of those things. But whether you are inviting a client out for lunch or whether you are inviting a neighbor over for a coffee or even if you are inviting perhaps one of your children's classmates, families back to your house to have dinner, there's something powerful about an invitation that connects us to other people. But this idea of invitations is actually not a new idea. If we take a moment and we were to go back into the Bible and what the Bible says about invitations, we would actually discover that Jesus is the master at giving invitations out to people. Jesus frequently extended invitation to individuals and groups to join him in what it was that he was doing. Jesus' actions towards sinners and tax collectors and those who were marginalized in society sent a powerful message that love and redemption are available to all. There's no exception to that. Regardless of your past, love and redemption is for everyone. Jesus invites us into that. And this morning, I want to give you three invitations that Jesus offers to you. Here's the first one. Jesus offers us an invitation to rest, an invitation to all who are weary and worn out by this life that we're living in. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry a heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Since the very beginning of recorded history, we have been creatures of restlessness. Some people would suggest that we actually have a DNA, that we're born with a restless gene in us. We have within us this compulsion to see what lies beyond our current surroundings or circumstances. And marriages fall apart sometimes because we wonder if maybe we should have married somebody else or gotten into another kind of relationship. We sabotage our jobs sometimes because we think there is something better for us out there, and so we want to go and find it. We dump friendships because we see other people that we think, oh, they look nicer, they look better. Maybe they will benefit my life in some way. And so we'll abandon friendships so that we can try to selfishly connect with other people. And when we are deprived of peace, that peace that comes from God through the saving grace of Jesus Christ, we become really isolated and alone. Spiritual unrest drives us towards a hopelessness, selfishness, self-depravitation sometimes, pride, arrogance. There is an unrest in almost every phase of our modern day living. And this changeable, unsettled, roaming, transient, sleepless, fidgety spirit characterizes the restlessness of the human heart. And it's all because of our separation from God, our separation from Christ. Isaiah chapter 57, verse 20 says this, those who still reject God are like the restless sea, which never is still, but continually churns up mud and dirt. The Bible offers us an invitation to rest for those who are held in that grip of insecurity, for the intellectual person who has lost their way, for the strong people who live in fear of weakness and defeat. Jesus' invitation is, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. I may not know where you find yourself today, or the trials or the struggles that weigh heavily on your heart or mind. But I do know this, that the invitation from Jesus is extended solely to you personally and intimately. There is no condition attached. There is no expectation that you have to meet. It's a gentle call to come as you are. He longs for you to embrace and accept his promise of rest, a refuge for your soul amid this chaos that we sometimes find ourselves living in. Take a moment to be still, to breathe deeply, and to step into his embrace and accept his invitation of rest. That's the first one. The second invitation that Jesus offers to us is an invitation to learn. Jesus frequently extended invitations to individuals and groups to join him at what he was doing. And one of the great examples that I love is Peter, James, and John. These are three of Jesus' disciples. And Jesus invited them to leave their careers as fishermen and begin to follow Jesus. In Mark chapter 1, verse 17, this is what Jesus said. Jesus said, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And incredibly, they did it. I don't know if I could have done that, to give up my career and just suddenly follow this person I've just met. But Peter, James, and John, they did it. Now, I don't know if any of you know anything about fishing. I like to fish. I'm a fly fisherman. But the idea behind fishing is to know the fish that you're looking for and then attract them so that you can catch them. Now, to catch a fish, you need to know what equipment you need to use, because some fish don't respond to other things as others do. The habitat, the depth of the water, of the area that you're fishing in, as well as the kind of bait that fish will go after. So just ask a fisherman, what does it take to catch a fish? And they will tell you that all of these things are important. Now, for us as human beings, when Jesus said that we would catch humans, or that he would teach his disciples how to catch or fish for people, some of us begin to understand what that means. Because for some of us, we have been fished out of the mess of our own lives. And because we have been fished out of that mess, we have been brought out of that chaos, we have been brought out of that restlessness, that pain, that challenge, those difficulties that we were experiencing before we were able to accept Jesus and the rest that he has offered us. We've been fished out of that mess. It means that now Jesus wants us to join him by inviting others into the same place that Jesus has invited us into. The opportunities lie around us. Your neighbors, for example, your children, fellow co-workers, fellow students, people you work with are waiting to see Jesus in you. And our challenge is to learn how to become effective, efficient fishermen of people, or fishers of people. Now, how do we begin to do this? Well, it kind of happens like this. We spread the good news about Jesus' invitation to find a place of rest and peace by spreading a net of grace. Now, the key here is grace, that word grace. The word grace means simply an attitude of favor and mercy. Think about this. Think about how we show favor and mercy towards others. Would you invite someone into your home and then completely ignore them once they arrived and have nothing to do with them? That wouldn't be favor, right? If you were to meet someone who said that they didn't believe in God, and all of a sudden you just began to yell at them and argue with them and tell them that they were stupid and angry with them, well, that's not mercy either, is it? And if we were to meet someone even of another religion and began to say, "Oh, your beliefs are false, and what you believe is wrong, and you're going to go straight to hell," that's not showing favor or mercy. Someone from my previous church a little while ago that I pastored in once shared a story with me of a woman who is now in her 60s. And she has had a difficulty accepting Jesus as her friend and Savior. And the reason is because that when she was a young girl, her grandmother passed away. And her grandmother was a Roman Catholic, but she loved Jesus. And she had a very kind and generous spirit, and she taught that kindness and generosity to her granddaughter. And this lady's grandmother taught her things about spiritual life and how God loves us and about the love of God. But when she passed away and they were at the funeral, someone came to this young girl and told her that her grandmother was in hell because she was a Roman Catholic. And when they told me that story, it just broke my heart. But for her, what it meant was that God was not the God that her grandmother had taught her about. You see, here's a problem that we have as human beings. We have a tendency sometimes to fall back into some old behaviors. Even though we have been fished out of the mess of our lives and we have met Jesus, sometimes we have a tendency to go back and be critical, to say things that are unkind, to pass judgment, to even be selfish. And the task to which Jesus calls us is to spread the good news of Jesus' invitation to find a place of rest and peace. And so by spreading a net of grace, it means that we are not throwing a spear of condemnation. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10. He said, "You know that the rulers of this world lord over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. For whoever wants to be a leader among you must first be their servant. And whoever wants to be first among you must become a slave to everyone else." Jesus is trying to tell us there's a different world in the kingdom of Jesus. When we begin to follow Jesus, we need to learn how to live out this invitation. He says this, that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life for a ransom of many. Jesus even went so far as to say that if you were to fail to learn this, then you would even miss out on the greatest rewards of heaven. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 25. He gave this story, and in the story he said, "I was hungry, but you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, and you didn't give me anything to drink. I was a stranger, and you didn't invite me into your home. I was naked, and you didn't give me clothing. I was sick and in prison, and you didn't come and visit me." And they will reply, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not help you?" And this was his response. He said, and he will answer, "I tell you the truth, that when you refuse to help the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me." Fishing for people does not mean that we are taking people against their will. That's not what we're doing. But we give them the opportunity to respond to the love of God in Christ. When we are surely seeking out others like fish, we eat them. But that's not what we're not trying to kill anybody here. We are actually bringing life to others. We are bringing true life, abundant life, eternal life, the life of the kingdom of God, the life of God's future. Jesus offers us an invitation to learn and to become a part of something greater than ourselves. So that's the second invitation that Jesus brings to us. Here's the third invitation. Jesus offers us an invitation to live. This invitation is given to you to live in the purposes to which you have been created. Here's what Jesus said to them in John chapter 15, verse 4. "Live in me and make your home in me just as I do in you." Now, some of your Bibles may actually say that verse a little bit different in the interpretation from the original language into the English language. It might say, "Remain in me or abide in me, and I will remain or abide in you." Relationship with God is not an occasional rendezvous with the deity. It's an actual living with God. To be a Christian is not an occupation or a hobby. It's a lifelong journey, a calling that stretches into eternity. True gratification and true purpose can only be found in how we live our lives in Christ. You were created by Him. You are not made to exist on your own. You are not created to seek out your own individual interests and welfare before the interests and welfare of others. We are made for His glory, not for what we can achieve for ourselves. If we only focus on ourselves, and we can make lots of money, we can have great parties, we can live beautiful in beautiful houses, and we can achieve what is considered great success. But the measurement of success is not in what you gain. The measurement of success is what you do with the talents God has given you to become the person that God has made you to be. And this was modeled for us. If you go to Romans chapter 5, verse 7 and 8, it says, we can understand someone dying for a person who is worth dying for. And we can understand how someone good and noble could inspire us to selfless sacrifice. But God put His love on the line for us by offering His Son in sacrificial death, that while we were still no use to Him. The invitation to live a gratified and personal filled life begins with Jesus. We are invited to learn how to serve others in Christ, to live out our purposes in Christ. And we are more than servants. We are friends of God. We have been called friends of God. Jesus said this in John chapter 15. He says, I no longer call you servants. If I were to call you a servant, that means that you don't know what I'm doing. But here I am. I have revealed to you everything that you need to know. And so I don't call you servants. I now call you friends, because I have shown you everything I have for you to know. We all have a basic need to belong. But a gratified, purpose-filled life begins with Jesus. We are invited to live our lives in Christ. That is the power of an invitation. We rest. We talked about this. He invites us into a place of rest. We learn. He invites us into a place to learn what all of that means. And then we begin to live it out by living in Christ. And for that, we find peace. We become a whole lot smarter. And we find success and a purpose-filled life. Never underestimate the power of a single invitation. It transformed lives. We see so many examples in the Bible, but Peter, James, and John, it transformed their lives. That one moment on the beach, Jesus invited them to follow Him, and they did it. And it transformed them. It has transformed the lives of countless millions of people from that moment on until now. And so perhaps if you have not accepted Jesus, if you have not met Jesus, if you have not experienced His rest, perhaps it's simply because you've never been invited to. So consider this your personal invitation. Will you accept Jesus into your life? It's not a difficult thing to do. Jesus wasn't trying to make our lives difficult. He wanted it to be as simple as possible. All we need to do is use our words and say it and believe in our heart. And if we will believe with our whole heart and accept Jesus for who He is, then we can enter into that place of rest. We can enter into that place of purpose and hope. And so here's what I encourage you to do today. Just in this moment, before we move on and go on to other things today and into this week and into other activities, pause and just say, Jesus, I want to receive Your rest. I accept You for who You are, and I accept You into my life. I want to live my life in You. You know, if you do that, you've just gone from that place of servanthood into that place of friendship. You are now a friend with God. The Bible says that when we accept Him, our lives are changed. We are transformed. It says that a new spirit comes to live in us, and it transforms the way that we think, the way that we live our lives, and it offers us a place toward peace, toward hope, and towards purpose. If you haven't done that, can I encourage you to do that today? Can I encourage you just to open up your mouth and your heart? Take a moment and say, Jesus, I want You in my life. Now, It's Sunday and this is Canada Day weekend, and perhaps you have lived in that place of rest. You've accepted Jesus into your life and you've been living your life as God, as you feel God is directing you, but you've got to that moment where perhaps that fishing for others hasn't really been a pattern in your life to serve others. This is Canada Day weekend. What a great opportunity we currently have. We should get a day off today, and hopefully if you do have a stat holiday to enjoy, then I would encourage you, you're going to have to eat sometime that day, right? You may drink a coffee at some point. Can I encourage you to invite someone to do that with you? Can I encourage you to use the power of an invitation and invite somebody into your life and begin to just develop that relationship so that when the opportunity is there, you can say, hey, can I tell you about Jesus? Jesus changed my life. And just tell your story. Because if Jesus has changed your life, that story is worth telling. And the power of an invitation just opens up the world around you. So I want to encourage you to do that. I do pray that you will have a blessed Canada Day. I pray that your week this week will be a blessed week. But before I go, can I just pray with you? Let me pray. Father God, I am so grateful for your love and compassion for us. I thank you, God, that you see us and you know us and you don't abandon us. But even when we were of no use to you because of our sin and our brokenness and our selfishness, you still gave your life for us so that in the moment of invitation, we could respond and we could accept your rest. God, I thank you for that. God, for my friends who are watching today, God, if that has never been their experience, I pray that before this service ends, that they will breathe out those words with their mouth and say, Jesus, I want you in my life and I want to live my life in you. And I pray, God, that you would just allow them to realize that that decision was the best decision that they could ever make. That, God, their lives are now changed. Their spirits are now alive and they are now children of God, friends of Jesus. And so, God, I pray that you would reach to all my friends who are in that place and those and my friends who are somewhere in the journey with you. God, I pray that we would not lose these opportunities of being able to share you with others around us. So let us use this moment to invite someone into our home, into our lives, to begin a conversation about how amazing you are. God, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your grace and mercy in our lives. Help us now to share that grace and mercy to others. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Blessings to you. I do pray that you'll have a wonderful week this week and that you will experience many good things as you move forward in your discovery and invitation that Jesus has extended to you. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.